Good day, everybody. I'm Matt Hammett, and I've traveled far and wide singing the song, Lead Me. But now, I want to sing it less and live it more. We all want to change the world, and we can, but I believe that changing the world starts at home behind our own front doors. And that's the heartbeat of this show. It's about faith, family, marriage, and manhood. You're listening to the Lead Me Lifecast. Last time on the Lead Me Lifecast. So that day, I pick up my guitar after we talk. I write the first draft of Lead Me. But then things still didn't change right away.
No.
Well, that was last time on the Lead Me Lifecast. And Sarah and I are going to continue that conversation in just a few minutes. But first, I want to tell you about the Lead Me Live events coming up in January and February of 2016. In January, we'll be in Toledo, Ohio. And in February, we'll be in Simpsonville, South Carolina. It's going to be a one-day men's conference on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'll do a concert open to everybody. And for all you early birds out there, there's special low pricing for you right now. So get your tickets at matthammettmusic.com. All right. So we're about to jump into this conversation between Sarah and I that we started last week. Before we do, you know, I just wanted to articulate one more time why it is that Sarah and I on this show would be willing to share in a very personal and vulnerable way, our struggles from our own life and marriage. You know, when you hear the conversation we have today, hopefully you'll laugh a little bit because it will be very relatable. But also, I hope you understand that it's not just the Matt and Sarah show where we just talk about the reality of our lives for entertainment. We have a very specific purpose. I have seen the damage that is done when people hide and isolate themselves. You know what I mean? When they try to hide their struggles and deal with it all on their own. And so I really hope that, you know, as we open up, that it gives other people the courage to say, hey, you know what? We have issues, we have struggles, and it's okay. And together, with God's help, we can make progress here.
Well,
we
yeah.
can stay committed. We can have a successful marriage. Even when we fall, we can pick ourselves back up and keep moving towards
right.
the goal.
The bottom line is I want people to know that even beautiful marriages can look really
ugly at times.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I think that's the point. Honestly, learning how to love and forgive and extend grace when it's ugly and we don't want to because we thought it was going to be more beautiful than it actually is in the moment. There have been times in the past I've had conversations with friends who are going through a hard time in their marriage, and they'll, you know, share with me a story that they think I'm not going to relate to. But the truth is, and I share with them, that I can totally relate, and that Matt and I go through similar struggles, and we're learning to work it out too, and, you know, make this work and work beautifully.
Well,
and
the goal would be to see Christ's beauty and what he's doing in our lives through our weaknesses.
Right.
Well, let me just share a Bible verse here from 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And this is Paul. He says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Something you said that I want people to take away when they listen to this conversation is that in our weaknesses, people will see that it's not about us, that the reason that we remain committed and continue to love each other is not in our own strength. It's in the strength that God gives us. And in our weakness, he has been strong. And I want people to know that Christ can be strong for you too, that in your weaknesses, he can be glorified. He can shape you and mold you more into his image. And if you're struggling out there, if you're having issues in your marriage, if you're feeling guilty or overwhelmed or condemned, God is greater than your heart. He's greater than that feeling that you have. And I want you to know that he loves you and he wants your marriage to succeed. And it can. And you're not alone. So listen to this story that Sarah and I are about to tell you about something that we went through recently. And I hope it encourages you to stay with it, stay committed, and to just get back up and keep on moving towards the goal of cultivating a healthy and thriving marriage and family life that reflects the love of Christ for his church, that even though we may fail, that we continue to strive to give our lives in love and sacrifice to one another.
So I've always been really honest about our conflicts with people who ask, because I want them to know that, like, it's not like, okay, Matt's in a Christian band, he sings Lead Me, so our fights are like, you know, little taps on the shoulder. I mean, it can be long, it can be loud, and it can be mean. You know, I would say for the first 10 years of our marriage, maybe like the cycle would happen once a month and the cycle would last maybe like every other day for a week or something. And then I would say currently, gosh, I mean, maybe one every 4 months. So it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, totally. It's gotten, I would say that we're actually like different people when it comes to our communication and conflict than we used to be. But every now and again, we still can get into that cycle. And I think a good example of that is last November. And it's really personal, but I think we should share it because I want people to know, like you do, that conflict is a part of life and it happens to all of us. So why don't you start us off?
So we were in a cycle. So it was like, man, we were both sick and Matt was touring a bunch. I think it would be safe to say that what ended up happening was I came to Matt with a need, maybe didn't express it in a loving way. He feels defensive, and instead of, you know, drawing me in, defends himself. I then feel more isolated and more angry and frustrated, which in return gets him more frustrated. So anyways, we're in one of those. We're both like sick. He basically had to go to urgent care while we're on the road because he was so sick. And after 14 years of marriage, we don't realize we should just shut our mouths when we don't feel good. Just stop talking. Like,
I remember
just,
it turned into like a texting war. That was the funniest part. It's like, it was like a novel. And we never text that long. It's been a few times we have, but that day it was just like, and text is the worst because it's like, you might write something trying to be sincere, but it sounds totally sarcastic or mean or like,
I don't know if there was misinterpretation or actual intent to be mean. I don't know. Anyways, I started going, what are these texts? And so I invite, you know, one of my friends to look at the text and be like, am I crazy or what is this? I can't believe how he's acting. And, you know, he calls my brother and basically says like, what do I do with her? Like, which this is not normal. Like, I do not share texts. I mean, maybe I have, but really rarely do we invite other people into it, you know? And then Matt's calling his dad thinking like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then I get mad that he does all that. And, you know, I say to him, you know what? This is after about 4 days of this, like just not understanding each other. Like we would get there and then one of us would want to explain something more and then we'd fall right back behind. Yeah. So it was like an atomic bomb.
Tell them what you said. So basically five minutes before I go on stage.
Yeah.
Five minutes before I had to sing.
So this is Sunday evening. I mean, we had been arguing since Thursday back and forth. I mean, like I said, it would get better and then it'd get really bad again. And anyways, I think both of us just kept poking a little lower. And then finally I was like, you know what? I'm just going to move your stuff out to the studio and when you come home, you can sleep out there. And I've had it. I'm going to email everybody and tell them that I just can't do this anymore. And it was honestly an empty threat. I just said it because I wanted you to know how serious I was about being understood. And I meant it in the moment, but I didn't actually mean it. I was stuck in this angry moment.
Well, let me pick it up from here because this is like this. So basically, you know, you tell me this, and at the time, it's like we're deep in it. Now I'm laughing about it, but at the time, we're just like, I can't believe she told me. You know, walking to the front lounge, we're about to literally go on stage, and I tell the guys, Sarah just told me she moved my stuff out. You know, and it's everybody's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's like this big dramatic thing, right? I had turned my phone off, threw it at my bunk because I just didn't know what else to do. And so I get back off stage and I still like, I'm not going to turn my phone on. She's going to pull that card on me. I'm not going to talk to her for the rest of the weekend. I mean, I was just being stupid. So finally, I was talking to one of the guys, and they're like, just turn your phone on. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I can't go to bed without turning my phone on. First thing I see, lighting up with text, like 5 minutes after we had talked, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it. Please forgive me. All these like really sweet texts. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. Here I've gone, told everybody, you know, I've called, like you said, I called my dad. Sarah told me this. I'm going to have to stay with you guys. I mean, it was so ridiculous. It was like the low point, I think, you know, for
us. And when I said it, you know, I'm thinking to myself, we both said things that allude to sort of the I'm
going to sleep somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I just can't do it anymore. Like,
yeah, they're kind of open-ended.
We both, out of anger, said things. Whoa, I was like way out of line. I don't mean that. Like, I don't mean that when I'm normal and I'm not feeling just so angry. I don't mean it. Like, I said it thinking to myself, even as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, he's going to know that I'm just kind of blowing smoke.
I thought you were serious.
And I'm thinking to myself, we both said this a dozen times each over the course of our marriage, where we've just, you know, you're not saying you want divorce, but you're just, you know, you've had it and they're sleeping on the couch, or, you know, you're sleeping. We just happen to have a studio that he could go to. So anyways, yeah. So we were in that cycle.
Which we're in right now.
What? We're not in a cycle.
No.
We're in the studio.
Yeah. So
we're in the studio.
But I think after that, I had already been feeling kind of this spiritual restlessness about, you know, being on the road. And I was realizing some things, you know, and feeling like God maybe was bringing me to that point of not wanting me to tour like that anymore and really make my family and my relationship with him my ultimate priority. You know, that I invested in this thing for almost 20 years. You've been with me for like 15 of that. 16, yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. 16 of that you've been with me. And I think it was just time. It was time for me to spend most of my time cultivating our family, which in a way had taken second place to the band.
I don't know that I ever actually totally felt that way, that I took second place to this, let's call it a dream. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And let me clarify.
I mean, there are moments where.
Let me clarify too, yeah, really quick, that when mm-hmm. I say it took second place, you know, I don't mean because it had to. I don't mean because the guys made it that way, or that's, I say that because I realized that in a way, some of the things with the band were an idol in my life, you know.
Well,
and I had
to get
that right.
Well, and it came before me too. I mean, so it was sort of your
and that
first
was my fault.
Love, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
I started when I was 16. It was all I ever knew.
Right. So then when, and I would say that as a, and I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I think you would agree that as a musician's wife, I wasn't really demanding. I think at times you felt I was
because of the chaos,
right,
that lifestyle caused me.
But I can't think of anything that I ever really asked you not to do.
It was like the chaos of my life had filled my cup. So then you were just like the one putting that little extra on top that
exactly
would make it overflow.
Right. And I think there's so many, just naturally, I think you, because of how you're built, you feel like you have to make everyone happy. And you know that I'm going to love you forever. Yeah. And so you can tell me no, but I think you felt like you couldn't tell other people no. You know what I mean? And so I think you're now seeing like that's sort of backwards. Like it should be that your family gets to sort of help you make that decision. And then if you have to say no to other people, that's the healthy way to do it. I think that's a key component to what's shifting in our life, you know, that I appreciate. Oh, and I was going to mention, when you said you were going to come off the road, I was super hesitant because I've known nothing else. I mean, this is like, you know, we had these conversations, you know, 40 shows when you're 40, like maybe you'll slow down when you're 40 years old and you can do 40 shows a year with, you know, as Sanctus Real. And then that'll be what it is. Well, you're 35 and this came out of nowhere. Like, okay. Like, okay. I think, you know, Matt was far more ready to just cut the rope, I guess, or like just,
Yeah, I was ready. I was ready. And the thing is too, that I wanted to say following up this thing last November, as Andy Stanley would say, how long am I going to let Sarah hold these rocks? I love when he talks about, you know, we hand our loved ones these rocks to carry, and we say, hey, just hold this for a little bit and while I go do this or while I go do that. And it's like, you keep handing them more and handing them more. And over time, it's like, these are weights that they weren't meant to carry. And at some point, it's going to drop, you know, and he says that when that drops, I mean, serious damage can be done. And I think what I saw was those rocks teetering and a few kind of starting to slip. And I really had to think to myself, do I want to wait till all this drops? This is an indicator that there is a weakness here that's getting to a place where I could see that much more weight might make this drop. Maybe not, but am I willing to take that chance? And that coupled with already feeling that spiritual restlessness of feeling like God was calling me, you know, to do some other things, feeding into the lives of people together, but the
family
nucleus,
enrichment. I mean, yeah. We've been talking about family enrichment, and yeah. I think, you know, often we've said, like, why do we have this marriage that's, I mean, gosh, it is beautiful. It is awesome. We are really close. Like, a lot of times I realize how much we know about each other and express to each other and are open with each other. Like, we're very open, but with that, and we're very close and passionately we love each other. But with that, we've been incredibly passionate in conflict. And at times it's felt like, why is this so difficult? And I think we fought for our marriage. And I feel like as we fought for our marriage, we've collected as much information and resources to fight divorce, really, you know? And I think that we have a lot that we're learning.
Yeah, we have been learning a ton. I mean, just taking in so many resources over the years and learning through our own experiences and failures and victories. And that's one of the biggest reasons we started this show, was just to pass that on to other people and to pass on what we continue to learn. I look at so many people beyond us who know so much more than we do. And I know we have a lot to learn, and I'm excited to share that as we learn with our audience. But anyways, you were saying.
So you're saying, like, you saw me with all those rocks and you were thinking, how much more can she hold? And I think it's so funny because I think to myself, well, my rocks were falling with Bowen.
And for people out there who don't know, Bowen being born with a severe heart defect and spending a lot of time in the hospital, which I want to do an episode on that.
Yeah. So we went through a terrible experience when he was born. I mean, it was terrible. I say it was terrible because in a worldly sense, it was horrific. But in a godly sense, it was miraculous and beautiful. And so it was the best and worst of times.
Then,
you know, we had some time off then because he was dying. I remember, yeah. And then I remember, you know, getting home and you had to go. I mean, you had to work. I mean, obviously that's how you made your income. And so the band was great to us during that time. We got, you know, time off. But I remember being up through the night. We didn't get nursing because he didn't qualify for nighttime nursing, which was crazy. And we had help from family. But I mean, I would never expect anyone to stay awake with him through the night. So I was getting no sleep at night. You were traveling. It was, I mean, and then the burden of thinking my kid could die any second, I'm going to have to start CPR, call 911. What am I going to do? There was just a lot of pressure. And then, you know, I remember the band when Bowen was 6 months old, he was in for his second open heart surgery. The band was nominated for a Grammy and they decided to go, of course, the rest of the band decided to go out to California and go to the Grammys. But Matt and I were like with this sick, dying baby. And it was just like, oh my gosh, like these two worlds are insane. Like, I can't believe this. So anyway, so our rocks felt very heavy then.
You know, the amazing thing is God's timing. Like you said, I got to a place where I was like, I don't think I want to wait and see if the bottom drops out. you know, it's like, and at the same time I was feeling God kind of say, well, you don't have to, you know? And so that was really, really amazing how that timing worked out. And I know that was a divine thing. And now here we are, and you know, we've had some time off already, and I'm feeling so inspired because I'm starting to see this kind of big vision of this facet of what God wants us to be doing for at least this season and hopefully for a long time. It's exciting to see the vision of this Lead Me theme. I wrote that song because I had a heart for those things. I had a heart to learn how to love my wife, to learn how to be a good leader. And that's just not something you write about that changes. You know, I'm just fortunate enough that we were already able to make a Lead Me impact through that song, but it continues now for us to continue to talk about these things that are so important to us.
My brain was rabbit trailing as you were talking. I just feel like, you know, you and I are verbal processors.
So what you're saying is this show is going to be as good for us as anybody else.
Yes.
Next time on the Lead Me Lifecast. The creation story found in the first two chapters of the Bible describes life before the curse. That's right, two chapters out of 1,189 are all we get before a husband and wife find a way to mess things up. Some things never change. But thankfully, there's more to this story. Well, that's next time on the Lead Me Lifecast. We're going all the way back to Adam and Eve, and we're going to talk about the curse and how it still affects our marriages today. Hey, don't forget to go to matthammettmusic.com to get your early bird pricing for the Lead Me live events. And now, as I promised, I want to play you that song that I wrote the week that I decided to leave Sanctus Real. Like I said, it's not perfect. It's just a demo, but I know you'll get the heart of it. And when you listen to it, I hope that you'll be inspired to trust and follow the Lord wherever he calls you, even when it's difficult.
Every night, all those days, with no regrets. Oh, we've been watching half our lives flow through the only hourglass we've known. And now I'm standing at a crossroads, knowing that it's time to let go, to let go. I just keep on fighting.